We are surrounded with love. Surrounded with love, surrounded with God. What could be nicer than that? And the young man that's going to share his thoughts with us tonight, I've known him kind of off and on for a lot of years now. He appears and next meeting you're going to see him again. And the next meeting you know you're going to see him again. And then you know you're not going to see him for a long time. And then I get to see him again. And this young man I dearly love, and his Dan Hare. Here he comes.
You're too sweet. Does that bother you? Oh, good. You know, I realize that I'm working on 20 years going to this church. I think it was like 1999 when my dad had died. And through a chance meeting, well, not chance, you know how that goes, sitting back in a chair, and I'm going, whole different thing. And I wanted to share with you tonight kind of my journey from where I started and where I am today in terms of the things that are important to me, things that I emphasized early on, and now the things that I emphasize today. I find it really interesting for me, looking back over that 20 years, 17, 18, 18 years, I think it is. And at the end of this, I ultimately want all of us to realize one thing, is that life is about energy. Everything that we do, breathe, say is energy. You can create good energy and you can create bad energy. Your words can create good energy or they can create bad energy. They're very powerful, those things that you say and how you say them, even your tone of voice, powerful, powerful. But it's at the end of the day, it's about energy. So starting, if we can go back to when I was 16 years old. That was only a few years ago, three or four, you know. It's funny that I got more creaky bones than I did back then. I was a young guy in high school, and I went to a Youth for Christ concert, and they did the offering and said that Jesus would come into your heart and give you a purpose. And I thought, yeah, that sounds like the right thing to do. And so I opened my heart to Jesus. I said, okay, this is good. This is the right thing to do. And I remember something happened, and I couldn't really quantify it. I'd been raised in not a religious home particularly. My mother was kind of a mystic bohemian, but she always ended up having some kind of spiritual deal. My father just couldn't buy into any of the Christian kind of thing. And for some reason, there was a void or a thirst of sorts, and I thought, yeah, this is... There's kind of an identity thing, and there's a loving group of people that you could hang out with and learn this body of knowledge and so on and so forth. And before I knew it, I'm going to these Bible studies, and I'm learning these Bible verses, and it very quickly went to this idea that to be a good Christian, you needed to learn the Bible. Okay, so I started learning verses, and I'd even memorized complete books of the Bible, and oh, man, I'm pretty cool because I did this thing and I have this knowledge coming into my brain. And I must say, good thing. I mean, it opened up a lot of ideas and I guess you would say spiritual doors, as it were. But also within that process, there was a whole lot of stuff that you could and couldn't do, and they had a lot of rules. And I thought, okay, and I wanted to be a good Christian, you know, so you try to do all the right things, and as a young guy, you make a lot of mistakes, as I'm sure in young girls. I wasn't a girl, of course, but I think we all make, you know, you go through these mistakes, and life goes on. I ended up going to a Bible school, majoring in theology, and, you know, I learned really fancy terms like the hypostatic union of the theanthropic man. And I thought, oh, that's so cool. And it was totally an ego thing. But, you know, I knew this knowledge. And so I'm like, I must be really, you know, that religious. I hated the word religious, but, you know, I knew because I had these fancy theological terms. And over the last, several years, I've been fascinated, actually over the last 20, but in varying degrees, coming to this church. This is such a unique place because this is where energy, we are so much about energy and pulling the energy and listening to something in the present. The Bible is a very interesting and fascinating book. It's been really the most powerful book in probably the most cultures in all the world for many, many hundreds of years and even decades. But it's probably the most misunderstood book. And people, you know, you've got how many schisms of quote-unquote Christianity? I mean, you've got from the crazy Pentecostals, who I love, absolutely love them, to the very unspirit-filled Baptists. And there's spirit-filled Baptists, but you know what I mean. There's kind of this range of personas. And, you know, you don't do this and you don't do that to praise Jesus and praise Jesus. I absolutely love the Lord. And in recent years, I started to study a little bit about the history of the Bible. And although it's an inspiring book, it's really a recollection or a record of this story about primarily in the New Testament, at least, about Jesus. And we've got these four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And those are the books that made it into the what we call the canonical Bible. And the church father Irenaeus in the year 185 basically said, well, these are the oral traditions that we'll put in and we'll accept those as the truth, or this is what this movement about Jesus is about. But the reality is there were scores of other gospels and writings. There were gospels according to Peter. There were gospels according to Thomas. There were gospels according to Judas. And they're not all the same. They have different emphasis. And the emphasis of the gospels that we kind of accept as the mainstream Christianity are around the death and the resurrection and the ascension of Jesus. And the whole kind of message is that he died for our sins and he redeemed us, that he reconnected us with God. And for years and years, that was kind of the imprint that I had in my own life. And I'm grateful for that. But there's also other gospels that the emphasis wasn't the death and resurrection of Jesus. One, and I've shared this, I think it was a year or two ago, was the gospel of Judas. Now, we don't have any original gospels of Jews. We don't have any original gospels of anything. They're all oral traditions, and they were not written by Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. They were the oral traditions of people that had heard the oral tradition, and they would write it down, and they would pass it around. And the truth is, a guy, good-hearted, good-spirited, wanted to do the right thing, would write the story, and he would sign it according to John, or according to Matthew, or according to Mark, or Luke. But Mark, Matthew, John, Luke, they didn't write it. It was somebody that heard the tradition. It was passing it on from your, like, father to your son to your community. And if it was, you know, written according to Dan Harrell, who's that guy? There wouldn't be the power. But if you wrote it in the name of someone that was around Jesus, who had direct contact with Jesus, it carried more weight. So on the one hand, we have this traditional gospel. But on the other hand, they discovered the gospel of Judas, and they dated it back. And it wasn't, again, written by Judas, but as oral tradition goes, it was dated back to, I think, about 300, and they found it in Egypt, and about 90% of it was recoverable. It's the most interesting story because rather than Judas being the bad guy, Judas was the good guy. Can you imagine why he was the good guy? Because the work of Jesus, when he came down, the whole story of the gospel of Judas and other Gnostic gospels was to give us the secret knowledge. It was all about secret knowledge, or gnosis, knowledge. And the knowledge we've seen in mystery schools through hundreds and hundreds of years, and people that have spiritual revelations rather than this kind of apparatus of this very strict do's and don'ts. It was kind of like what we do. We hear the messages from above today in the moment as opposed to reading a book that goes way back. Inspirational things in the book, absolutely. But the gospel of Judas was all about Judas being the good guy because he turned Jesus over so Jesus could get out of the physical body and go back to what they called the pleroma, the heavenly places. What's really interesting to me is that this whole idea of the secret knowledge is about life force. It's about the filling of the Holy Spirit, energy. It's about the chi. And, you know, I think it was the Gospel of Thomas who went to India. There's great traditions of Jesus in India imparting this. And the whole chakra systems of where our energy goes up and down our body, which is part of our health deal. And so the thing that will allow you the fullness of life, and I love the book of Ephesians when Paul prays, he says, I pray that you'd be filled with the fullness of God. It's not about words and knowledge, you guys. It's about energy and about being filled with the Holy Spirit. It's not about a bunch of knowledge and a bunch of laws or anything like that. It's about the ability to be in this moment. Because the only thing that you or I will ever have is the very moment that we live in. You'll never live tomorrow, and you'll never live yesterday. They're done. And half my life, I'm a Virgo, so I'm stuck in my head. So this has been a big challenge for me, is how do you live in this present moment? And so I started taking yoga several years ago, and I'm continually amazed at how that movement's going, and they call it mindfulness or meditation, and this whole notion that to get into a place where you're in the moment, quit worrying about yesterday and quit worrying about tomorrow. Yes, you've got a plan, I get that, but if you are constantly fixated on some other place than now, guess what? The magic, the connections, the miracles that God wants to perform in your world, the little coincidences and the big coincidences, oftentimes can't happen because you're someplace else. You're worrying about what somebody said about you. You're worried about what's going to happen tomorrow. And in this present moment, you miss the person that was walking over here that wanted to talk to you or that event because you weren't present. Okay? So I want to give you four things about how to raise your vibration. Today I had, I'm involved, I've got a pretty good sized lower yard, and so I'm starting an urban farm of all crazy things. And I've got two brown thumbs, but I got a buddy and his girl who are from Michigan, and they're farmers and ranchers. And we're growing microgreens. And microgreens have like seven times the nutritional value of a regular full-grown adult vegetables. It's a really interesting deal. And so we've been growing in this dome, it's a mud hut, these microgreens, and we've been infusing them with music. a vibration. It's called a Schulman resonance of 1100 megahertz, I think it is. And we've been beating the rapidity. It's like a 15-day grow cycle for things like basil and alfalfa and all these crazy kind of herbs and whatnot. And we've been beating the timing by like 30%. So in 9 days, we're getting this crop, and it's amazing. And this dome is just filled with sound. And the sound is infusing itself in this food. And so we've been going through this whole thing about how do you repeat a cycle. So the old way, well, it's still mainstream, is you grow in dirt in a field. But the new generation of growing is in things called hydroponics and aquaponics, where you don't have any soil, but it's nutrient soil, humidity, temperature, and it's a repeatable thing. They're growing in warehouses increasingly around the country, and there's no pesticides. You can do it in the urban center, so it's close to the people. It's a fascinating thing. I guess it's been a month or two ago, I had a home concert for my yoga teacher. He's a guitar player as well, and met a fella there who has been doing studies on lights. And you know how the grow lights, they have the fluorescence? Well, now, this is so fascinating. This is just a few hours ago. There are studies of light where you've got all these different, you know, blues and ultraviolets and red lights and white lights. And they all have these different wavelengths that pertain to different parts of a plant. Some about the flavonoids, some about, you know, various nutrients, color. It's just absolutely amazing. And he's starting, Matthew is starting to work with the Salk Institute, and they're doing these incredible studies about food. And so I want to suggest to you, because I know that there's a lot of people that get ill, they get disease, and I think, that's just me thinking, might be dangerous, is that a lot of times our spiritual health is affected by our physical health. And our physical health is something that we can control more than we probably are even conscious of. And we're talking about creating a grow system to where from the seed, and this is really cool, in Russia during perestroika in the 80s, the whole country is falling apart, and the young, intelligent people got together, and it's, if you ever want to look it up, the Ringing Cedars. And it's much more than just this element, but they would take a seed, they would put it in their mouth, and they would coat it with their own DNA, and they would plant it. And the legend is, no science to it that I know of, is that that seed would then know exactly what your body needs because your DNA is encoded on it. Isn't that an interesting idea? And so, you know, we're starting to talk about this idea, how can you have food security where you can start with a seed, have like a tabletop hydroponic system to where it grows from vegetables to leafy stuff all the way through to harvest right there so you know exactly where it is. Because I don't know if you realize it, but Whole Foods, who's kind of the organic place, you don't know where that stuff comes from. You hope. You know what I mean? You hope. But you don't know the logistical thing. So we're playing with these ideas about how do you grow food from the beginning to the end. And I says, I want it for a guy like me, I know how to make coffee. Okay, that's about it. You grind the thing, you put it in the little filter, you put some water in. And so we're thinking, how would you put water in, structure it through a little system, pH balance, automatic balancing, so on and so forth, and automatic grow times, and music infusion, heat, humidity, and the whole thing. So it's kind of an interesting project for me. But I want to suggest to you that to increase your vibration, your spiritual awareness, ability to hear the other side, to be present, that if you pay very close attention to your food source and stay away from the pesticides and the processed foods that are killing us with cancers, and how many people have we lost, family and friends, cancer and heart disease and all kinds, sugar, diabetes. They're so common, and it's part of our food chain. That's kind of, for me, it's important that our food supply be pure as possible for our spiritual health, okay? The other way to increase your vibration, I think, is music. Now, there's different megahertz, and every chakra has a different megahertz that resonates to it. But there's also music, it's the love vibration. I think it's like 728 megahertz or something in that neighborhood. And there's certain music that if you calm yourself, it will put you in a state of just being very much in the moment. Your body feels the music. It feels the vibration. It will elevate you. Trust me, it will bring you, and you guys know this probably better than I do, so, you know, it's like one finger out and three back at me, but I just find it such an interesting, you know, one of like three or four things that I find very helpful to kind of get me centered and get me before the Lord and in this presence of being I am, being real, being authentic and having that connection and getting me away from worrying about yesterday or tomorrow. So music, okay? The third thing is prayer. You know, meditation, if meditation is listening to God, prayer is talking to God. And since we have two ears and one mouth, maybe we ought to listen twice as much as we pray. Kind of simple. And just listen in the stillness of our mind. And then the fourth thing, and I'll close with this, is movement. I have a friend, Ryan McMahon. He's in my yoga class, and he wrote a book. It's on Amazon called Sun God, S-U-N, Sun God. And a really interesting book because he goes through all traditions over all time, and he gets some major ideas that are in all of the customs and traditions. And one of the things that he makes the point of is your spinal fluid, which up and down your spine, movement. So for some, you know, the older we get, and I'm finding it, it's harder to move. I'd rather sit in a chair. And so I've been told, look, if you can just move, just even if you don't feel you can do it, just a little bit. And if you can do one today, maybe you can do two tomorrow. But move your body. Move the energy up and down your spine. And so, you guys, it's not about knowledge. It's not about making an empire and planning for the future to the degree that it is constantly taking you away from being present in the moment. It's about being in the moment and vibrating. And it's amazing because the more that we end up being present and vibing at a high place, we can manifest. You know, it says in the Bible about moving mountains. Prayer can move mountains. If we're vibrating, it's amazing the things that just line up. I mean, when we started this idea of the farm, we had no idea that we would meet Matthew. And he was at this concert. And we chatted a little bit. Well, that was a month ago. We finally called him and come to find out, he's got the most amazing light technology that will transform the food production world. He's on the leading edge of it. And I thought, my God, you know, we're going to plant a little garden and sell it down the street to the grocery store. And it looks like we might have this opportunity to be on the cutting edge of food technology. And I find it very, very interesting. But the idea of being present. And so, at the end of the day, I pray for you and for me is that our holistic kind of thinking with good food, vibration, and meditation. In yoga, they do the om. And it's the vibration of the voice. And there's a whole bunch of sounds in the Sanskrit deal. And it's ah, ooh, om, and om, and mmm. And if you do it, and you're present, it's amazing what it does with your body. It's like electricity going through your body, and it's this ability to line you up so you can hear God. That makes sense? Okay, I'm done. Thank you.